Often vulgar, always explicit, and sometimes funny.
Slap box. Slap box.
Welcome to Slapbox Podcast. This is episode 716. I'm your host, Josh Albrecht, recording once again inside the Slapbox penthouse. My trusty sidekick, Agent Fox Mulder, the three-legged kitty cat, is laying on the floor right by me, soaking up the sun. It's 10:25 in the morning. He's got right at an hour before he gets a meal from his automatic feeder, so he's going to be getting anxious at some point in time during this recording, wanting to get fed. Would imagine. Although it seemed like he might puke earlier, so maybe his stomach's not feeling so hot. I thought he might puke on me, but he did not puke that I know of. I haven't found any vomit anywhere. I tried to get him to just puke on the blanket, but I guess he's like me, doesn't like to puke. We'll fight it. It is Mother's Day weekend. I'm recording this Saturday before Mother's Day. And I imagine I'll probably release out into the wild some point in time today as well. Whereas normally I'd post it up on Sundays. But going to the zoo tomorrow. Well, I don't know. I feel like we might end up changing plans slightly because it does look like it might rain. I haven't looked in a minute since yesterday. Let's see what the forecast is for. Oh, no. I think we might get lucky. As of right now, it's just saying it's cloudy. And a high of only 67. I think the last few years it's been pretty warm when we went. But yeah, I mean, it looks like we're going to get decent weather, so I think we're going to be good for the zoo. But my brother was also talking, Shelley there was talking about going to the Arch. I've been in the Arch one time, rode the elevator several years back. I've been outside the Arch hundreds of times. It took until I was in my 30s, late 30s, before I finally went inside and rode the elevator. But yeah, I'm a little out of it. I feel like, man, I am tempted to go get a Red Bull because I am really tired. I was doing good there for a little bit. Last weekend, of course, I had a 3-day weekend. And, what was it four? It was 4-day weekend. Yeah, 4-day weekend last week. And I did cut back on the caffeine during the weekend, at least. And I was able to, you know, survive the weekend. Had a little bit of headaches. Although I've been taking the Hims, the chewable Hims, which apparently some of the side effects of that has had headaches. But I felt caffeine headaches. It felt like a caffeine headache. And I had been getting to a point where I was overdoing the caffeine a bit. So I imagine it was probably more the caffeine. But anywho, I was trying to do, like, you know, wean myself off the caffeine. But going back to work, you know, I was trying to do like every other day with caffeine, but going back to work, I ended up having to do it I think I did it pretty much every day this week. I don't think I survived a day without doing a Red Bull. Because, well, I've been painting. And I needed to, I was previously, before starting on the Orange, doing the paint on the Overlook Hotel carpet theme that they have on all the carpet. Well, not all the carpet. There's different carpets throughout the Overlook Hotel. they have the hexagon pattern there with the orange, black, and red. And yeah, when I was doing the black and the red, I would not go over 2 hours at a time doing it. I would usually cut it off only after a little over an hour. I would try to keep it under 2 hours so I didn't get too frustrated. I wanted to be able to sleep at night, you know, sort of thing. But since doing the orange, it's been a different situation. Because, one, it's just like I'm trying to just finish it up. And since I'm not using a roller to do it, that I'm using small paintbrushes, whereas the black and the red, I had just taped it off, which the taping took for fucking ever. And then I went over it with a paint roller, and the painting itself didn't take long. It was the taping that was a real bitch. But I could easily, I could tape one section a lot faster than what I'm currently doing, where I'm using very small paintbrushes to paint the orange in. So I don't have to go around and tape a bunch of shit. I guess overall it's like going to be time saving that I'm not having to tape all of that shit off again. The part that I think that's really, you know, saving that, the time issue, is when I painted before using the tape, it bled under the tape, and then I'm having to go back and fix all those lines. Don't have to do that when I do the paintbrush, except for, you know, maybe a couple of spots where I got a little crazy. A little off. Maybe I accidentally put my hand in some wet paint and then transferred it to another section. Shit, man, I'm gonna have to go get a Red Bull. I'm gonna have to pause for a minute and get a Red Bull, as I'm having to cave. Caffeine's a bitch to get over. But again, I feel like I would have done a much better job of getting rid of this caffeine out of my system had I not been doing this painting thing. So it's going to be a challenge to like cut that down and get rid of the caffeine headaches while also trying to finish this painting up. But I will finish this story up here in a second after I pause and give in to the beast. I can't get this monkey off my back. Oh, and I had my first few sips. It takes like 10 minutes for the caffeine to hit your blood system, though, so I'm still going to be tired for a while. At least I think, cut it back enough on the caffeine to where the headaches seem to have subsided. But I'm right back here on it, so I imagine that's going to be short-lived with the... I mean, I guess I could always go in the reverse direction and just amp it up more. Just go with the monsters. But I kind of need sleep, you know? Kind of need sleep. And I start really adding to the caffeine. That's going to make it a little difficult. A little difficult. I almost... last night, after I got off work, and I've been, you know, trying to go on cheap. My hours have been cut at work and been light on funds and whatnot. And, you know, the price of everything's gone through the roof. So I've been eating on the cheap. And then also to conserve time, I've been doing just frozen pizzas now for fucking ever, where I just, you know, throw them in the oven. I dozed off last night while I was watching. I was going back through and watching the beginning of The Mandalorian as I prepare myself to go see The Mandalorian and Grogu on May 22nd. I was watching that while the pizza was in the oven, and I dozed off. I don't know for how long. And I woke up to the timer on the microwave, you know, beeping. And I had burnt the pizza, but not like it was edible still. Like the crust was a little, got a little char. The inside was fine, though. But it was like, oh shit, man. I'm going to burn this place down. I've been so tired. But I've made progress on the wall. You know, I've lost some sleep. Sure. Fighting caffeine. And a losing battle against caffeine. And yeah, I think I was optimistic last week when talking about it. I thought when I had done the podcast, I thought I was going to get further on the orange than I did last weekend. I had planned on changing my oil too, but then I didn't get anywhere near where I'd hoped to do with the painting. And I just kept up with the painting. I didn't change the oil, but I do have a 5-day weekend coming up for Memorial Day. So I guess I'll change my oil then. I'll have to make it real. I really had to push myself. I know I'm still not going to be done with painting by that point. So I imagine most of that weekend I'm going to just be painting and trying to knock that shit out. I'm not halfway done with the orange yet. I had hoped last weekend that I would get to the second and final corner that I have to go around, but I fell quite a bit short by the end of the weekend. I'm still not currently as to that second corner, and the second corner is going to be a real bitch. That's going to be a real pain in the ass. But I'm pretty confident by like Tuesday, at the latest Wednesday, I will get to that corner and around it. But it's been a little difficult because each day I only do like one very small section. And I don't get the orange on like one day. Usually during the week, at least, I will paint the primer over that one small section and fix out the black lines and the red and just kind of get it close to where it needs to be complete. And then the next day I will turn around and do the orange in that section that I fixed up. And again, it's a very small section. It's like one small panel of hexagons. Yeah, I was hoping I could just, I don't know, I was hoping for, I was hoping it would go much faster. As it's clear to me, yeah, it is, I can only do so much. I did paint a lot, though, last weekend. I mean, I'm making progress. I know by the time Monday rolled around, which was my last day off, I think I painted twice that day. Like I took a break so I could, of course, I started with the primer that morning and then did some orange that night. And in the morning, I remember being so fucking pissed off and hating, just absolute hating painting. And I'm like, I'm so fucking tired of this. I was pissed off because, you know, I knew I wasn't getting around to the oil change. But also, I hadn't done anything really much else the weekend besides like paint with 4 days off. kind of felt like, you know, I want my fucking life back, essentially. Again, like, because it's been, again, I looked up my photos, what, last week, I guess, and it was February 11th, the day that I started painting this shit above there. I had planned on doing it months and months before that, But I knew it was going to be a huge pain in the ass. So I waited quite a while for going back at it and attempting it, going back at it because, you know, I painted the walls just solid colors before that and worked on that for, you know, a couple of months or whatever the fuck it was. But man, I was so fucking pissed and done with painting when Monday rolled around. But when later that night when I painted the orange, I guess it wasn't as bad. I wasn't as angry. But I think too was just there wasn't much progress to be seen with the amount of time that I spent over the weekend. Now that I'm back to and on to Saturday, and I've still managed to every night put a couple of hours in it, even during the week here, several hours. I'm seeing progress, and I can see, you know, I'm getting close to the halfway, but I still got a little ways before I get to the halfway point on the orange, and it's I can see progress. It's like reading a book. Like, I get some pleasure whenever I don't read books very often anymore, but when I get like to the halfway point or like beyond, it's just seeing that there's something satisfactory to see how far I've progressed. It's a bit different than running a marathon. A marathon's the later stages. That's like early run. It feels great. It feels great. Your adrenaline's going, you know, if you're part of an actual race and you're not just running like a training run. But race day, you know, it's exciting getting there. You feel great starting out. The adrenaline's going. Which I guess it was a little exciting when I started this painting, but definitely no adrenaline. but as you get close to the end of a marathon, it's you hate fucking life more and just like start, at least for me, regretting like all life decisions. By mile 20, it's like, what the fuck am I doing? What have I done with my life? I guess it's similar in a lot of ways to a marathon. But and a marathon is just like, until that you've completely finished it, like it's hard to look back and like be too proud of it. At least with the painting, after a certain point, you know, because there's no time limit. I'm not doing this for a paid thing. I have the only time limits I have are ones that I've imposed upon myself. It doesn't have to be done by any point in time or at all. Although I put so much effort into it, I got to finish it. There's no way I can leave it like it is. And there's no way I'm going to paint over that. Not unless I have to sell this place for some reason. Which, I mean, you know, could very well happen. The problem is with selling it, where else am I going to fucking live at this point? Everywhere is fucking expensive. I mean, imagine. This place is pretty big. I could downgrade. But even with downgrading, you know, like a small apartment somewhere, I'm probably still going to be paying about what I pay here or more for my mortgage. So, I'd have to, I mean, if I was able to make a good profit off of this, I guess, which the value of my home, and the fact that I've been paying for, right at 5 years, it's coming on 5 years that I've been here. I'm starting to actually pay off the, I'm paying more than just interest now at this point, I guess. So what I'm getting at there, and that knocking down, you know, actual somewhat of that loan that I would make somewhat of a profit, but again, I did do that home equity loan. I would have to account for that as well. So, but anyway, yeah, I have no desire to want to sell this place. I don't want to downgrade now. What would I do? I would lose my home theater downstairs. That wouldn't be any good whatsoever. But at some point that might, you know, have to be a thing if I can't afford shit the way it's going. But man, that would crush my soul if I had to paint over that hexagon pattern that I've worked so hard at doing. If my math serves me correctly, by the pace I've been going, which I've been spending, man, I've spent like 3 or 4 hours on some nights, doing it, throughout this week. So I've upped the limit that I've put on myself. So, I'm pretty sure by my math with, again, the pace I've been going is going to put me at the end of June or like June 22nd ish or so. Probably like end of June when I'll be about finished guesstimating. Then again, I do have a 5-day weekend coming up. I'm hoping that I can really double up like what I've been doing on most weeks in those 5 days, you know? So maybe it'll be mid June. maybe we'll see what happens. I know that I want to be done with it and get back to doing other shit. but on the positive note, though, with spending all this time painting, I haven't gone out and done things that cost money to do. Which, you know, yes, I did spend a lot of money on the paint stuff, but I bought this paint a long time ago. I bought some paintbrushes, but not very expensive paintbrushes. I bought some packs of paintbrushes with a bunch of paintbrushes in them over at Michael's for like $6. So I haven't invested a whole lot of money in it recently. I did buy this spray paint, though. That it was kind of pricey because I had to get special spray paint, which I fucked up, actually, and just got the normal paint. I hit the wrong button when I ordered it. And so I have more red paint that I paid a good deal for. And then I had to reorder the spray paint. The spray paint is, of course, to run the power for the movie poster frames that light up that I have not put on the walls yet, but I have all the poster frames in already. And then I will hide the cords with the tracking stuff that you, I don't know what they're called, but little things that you tape to the wall that hide the power cords and you can paint over. Anyway, those look really cool. Having all four of them. I think I could potentially, I haven't attempted to do the measurements yet on that, but I still think that I could probably fit 5 of them up there if I really wanted to, but then I would have to get a different power supply than I currently have to be able to fit another a power adapter. But that's I'll cross that bridge when I get there. I haven't had a whole lot of time to watch movies and stuff, you know, which is, you know, the benefit of having a movie theater, because I've been so busy with the painting. And I do really enjoy watching stuff, but I have watched, I'm up to date on The Boys. That show's been weird to watch the later seasons. Because it takes me out of it so much that I think there was just too much time between seasons when they went to go film it, for one thing. But I've talked about this in the past, but it drives me nuts how the actors Like, there's clearly some Ozempic use. And surgery. There's some major plastic surgery and just aging in general between, like, seasons. And it takes me out of it. And and there's been, I don't know, also, found out the actor, I don't know his name, but he plays Frenchie on The Boys, apparently was a Israeli Defense Force. He was in the IDF and committed war crimes and basically bragged about it in interviews. I didn't want to get too involved in that. I was like, oh, I don't want to read more into that. Knowing that has also taken me out of it a little bit. Like, oh. And I didn't read into the war crimes. I started to, and I was like, man, damn it. I like the show The Boys. I don't want to know this. you know, there's shit like that, and then seeing, like, the surgeries, and then it seems like it's being rushed a little bit, like trying to wrap up loose ends. I know that they had canceled the spinoff Gen V, which I really liked that last season. I think there's only, what, like two, or is there three seasons? I think it's two seasons. But they had the Thomas Gadolkin, I think is his name. The guy that was, that last season of Gen V was really good. And I was hoping to see more of that. And that got canceled. As far as I know, the Soldier Boy prequel is still on, which I do love me some Soldier Boy. And we've, in this last final season of The Boys, we get more Soldier Boy, which is exciting. Jensen Ackles, pretty fantastic. Which I hear he's going to be the next Batman. That'll be interesting. But honestly, I'm not interested in Batman. I love me some Soldier Boy. Which makes me think of Soulja Boy with the S-O-U-L-J-A. Soulja Boy with the Superman at Ho. every time I say Soldier Boy, I can't help but think of that song. Which, if you're unfamiliar with how you Superman a ho, is apparently when you wait till the ho, said ho, is passed out, I guess on their stomach would be the preferred way to do this, but I don't know. It seems wrong to do, but I am not approving of Supermaning a hoe. But you jerk off or shoot a load onto said hoe's back and then lay a sheet on said hoe. And then, of course, the sheet then adheres to the hoe's back and then giving the hoe then a cape. So you then Superman that hoe. Which before that song, I was unaware, which that song was out for, I think, a few years before I found out what Superman a ho meant. damn it. Now I'm going to have to look up the lyrics of that. Crank That, I think, is the actual name of that song. Crank That lyrics, which I just think of that Superman that hoes is so. Oh dear Lord, I was unaware for a long time. That I was like, oh, that. Also, I was just more surprised. Like, is this a common thing? This is just like I'm gonna jerk off on somebody's back once they're passed out. It seems like almost like not something you'd want to do to somebody you're fucking. Like, this is just something you like do in some kind of fucking fraternity or something. Like, oh, I got a Superman. Which I guess, you know, that could be something that was done in fraternities. Just when the, you know, it could be within a couple that's, or just, you know, somebody you had a one night stand with sort of situation. I'm not sure. how you go about, like, you know what? I'm going to Superman that hoe. You passed out on my bed. Fuck that. Kind of fucked up. Oh, man. So, yeah, I'm looking at the lyrics, which I'm pretty sure are very repetitive. Which there's, oh, there's more than one verse. Oh, there's three verses. There's quite a bit. I mainly know the chorus here. Of course, the chorus, you got the intro with the, you, Soulja Boy, tell him, hey, I got this new dance for y'all called the Soulja Boy. You just got a punch, then crank back three times from left to right. Oh, man. So are you saying knock him out? Fuck, I forgot about that part. It's been a while since I've listened to the song and or looked into. Says the chorus, Soulja Boy off in it. Oh, watch me crank it. Watch me roll. Watch me crank that Soulja Boy, then Superman that. Oh. that ho. I'm pretty sure he says ho. Superman that ho. But maybe it's O. I don't know. This is, of course, genius.com. It's a genius that has... now watch me. Yeah, there's crank. Let's go with the verses here. Okay, verse one. Soulja Boy up in it. Oh, watch me lean, then watch me rock. Superman that. Oh, yeah, watch me crank that RoboCop. Super fresh now, watch me jock. Jocking on them haters. Main, when I do that Soulja Boy, I lean to the left, then crank that thing now. I'm jocking on you, I'm jocking on you. Which I'm guessing he's referring to jerking off on you. And if we get to fighting, then I'm fuck on you, then I'm fuck on you. I'm guessing it's stars for the four letters and stars. You catch me at yo local party. Yes, I crank it every day. Haters mad because I got me some bath and ape. You. Yeah, I have not done a deep dive on the lyrics to crank that in many years. I'm kind of over the reading it out loud part, but I'm trying to super soak that is some of the lyrics here. Let's see what the internet, you know. Oh, there's a song bio. Let's see here. One of the most notorious songs of all time, Crank That Soulja Boy, is the debut and breakout single for Chicago rapper and television personality Soulja Boy Tell'em, better known simply as Soulja Boy. Serving as the first single from Soulja Boy's 2007 debut album, SouljaBoyTellEm.com, the song quickly blew up and hit the number one spot on the Billboard Hot 100 chart on September 14th, 2007, where it stayed for 7 weeks. Crank That went on to become one of the biggest hits from the snap genre and is still remembered as one of the most prominent dance songs of the 2000s to this day. Much of the song's popularity is due to the dance that accompanies it, demonstrated in the music video by Soulja Boy and others. The dance was explained by Wall Street Journal upon song's release. Dancers bounce back on their heels, ripple their hands, crank their wrists like motorcyclists, then lunge into a Superman pose. But it doesn't refer to the meaning of... Let's see here. Do. There's the meaning. There we go. Let's get into the meaning. Let's get to this is do. Oh, here's, should I read? I'm gonna go with the Reddit. I'm looking at different I would prefer to read Reddit's take on this. Oh, this is an essay. They are getting some serious thought into Crank That. Now I can't get that song out of my fucking head. This is off the subreddit r/funny. by Desperate to Chaos. Desperate Chaos. God damn it. I thought it was going to be Spanish. Look at it. Desperate Chaos is, I was Desperate. God damn it. It was, threw me off with it being all one word and seeing, yeah, anyway, Desperate Chaos is, this but another interpretation of Soulja Boy. This essay was written by my friend's eighth grade friend as an extra credit assignment. Holy shit. That's so very loose connect, like friend's eighth grade friend. So friend of a friend of a friend. Soulja Boy, properly named DeAndre Cortez Way, is an African-American rapper. Thanks for pointing that out. Although criticized by some of his peers who cleave, you could have just said he's a rapper. You didn't. Although criticized by some of his peers who cleave to traditional rap and its emphasis on message as promoting mindless party music, upon deeper reflection, Soulja Boy's lyrics do contain a hidden message. Although he has had his share of troubles, lawsuits concerning his stage name, predictions that he will fade into obscurity, and arguments over innuendo, he is fairly successful along with his partner, Abraham Mustafa. Abraham Mustafa. Anyway, his major song, Soulja Boy Crank That, has risen to the top of several charts. At first, you know, this is 17 years ago, which you pointed out. So when this shit became big. Anyway, has risen to the top of several charts, actually. Yeah, anyway. It's been almost 20 years since that song came out. At first, the song might seem to justify many of his of the fears regarding Soulja Boy, mindless music, as the main repeated phrase seems to have no meaning and innuendo. Oh, it has meaning. As the use of various words, ho meaning whore, bitch, referring once again to sex, etc. While I will not deny that the song is of largely sexual bent, it is neither mindless nor corrupting. I first came to the conclusions regarding subtext in Soulja Boy Crank That by examining the greater meaning of the song. There is good proof that Soulja Boy does not lack for sophistication. Notable scholars from the Massachusetts Institute of Technology have analyzed the subtleties of the song's music video, of which there are many. If the video is complex, why shouldn't the actual song be? The largest mystery perplexing me was the main phrase, crank that. They wrote that. This is pretty great for an eighth grader to be pretty good writing. Anyway, crank that. Fortuitously, I had been studying this for a few days before the project was designed and came to the conclusion that Soulja Boy Crank That is about condoms, fitting in with the larger, obvious sexual theme of the song. The key evidence is found in the refrain, starting with the first line, Soulja Boy off in this hoe. If Soulja Boy is off, i.e. ejaculating, inside the hoe when there is a risk of pregnancy necessitating contraception, as Soulja Boy does not wish to have children with a woman he refers to as a whore. The next section uses the key phrase, watch me crank it, watch me roll. The phrase, let's roll, refers to starting an action. So before watch me roll, the action, namely that of intercourse, there is crank it. The action of cranking is similar to the motions made when donning a condom, fitting in to the need for contraception before sex. The next line, watch me crank that, Soulja Boy, reiterates his use of the condom for the benefit of the woman. Oh, that's nice. Who is now reassured that she will not contract a venereal disease. Finally, the Superman dat ho refers to a sexual maneuver. Oh, here we go. Indicating that once the formalities are over, life can continue as usual. Finally, now watch me, you, which I guess could Soldier Boy mean actually with Superman that Hulk, does he more refer to just flying off and like, I'm taking off, which might be more of the thing, but I don't know. indicating that once the formalities are over, life can continue as usual. Finally, now watch me, you crank that, Soldier Boy, is a command to use condoms. You crank that, and imitation of Soldier Boy, now watch me. With this premise established, we can move on to the first verse, in which Soldier Boy goes into the more detail about his sexual preferences. They thought very long and hard, if you will, about crank that. I thought about it hard. Soldier Boy is expanding on his initial support of the condoms, explaining why one should use a condom for the sexual active who are super fresh and would crank it every day. Condoms are of use for obvious reasons. Condoms are also a boon for normal people, the type of people who would attend yo local party. Finally, even the higher echelons of society who would not formally take kindly to rap could benefit from condoms. They are represented by RoboCop. Although a bit complex, the connection is evident. The first part, robo, refers to robotics, which are expensive, showing that the phrase refers to a more affluent crowd. Cop, the second part, is used to contrast with the chaos of stereotypical street life, implying order, intellectualism, and refinement compared to the life that gang members and their ilk would lead. Furthermore, such fops would have more time to devote to personal pleasure, and thus would be more likely to be super fresh, as evidenced by the placement of that phrase next to RoboCop. I'm pretty sure the person that wrote this spent more time thinking about crank that than Soldier Boy did when he wrote the song. More analyzing. Anyway, however, a new idea introduced in the section is Soldier Boy's sexual preference. He talks about jocking on them haters, mate. If jocking is an action performed on those who hate you, it must be hostile. Therefore, I'm jocking on yo bitch ass means that Soldier Boy is hostile to people who use unsavory methods such as bestiality or sodomy during intercourse. Following jocking is cocking. However, the lyrics only mention that he is cocking on your bitch ass, and sodomy exempted. This indicates that while he respects the legitimacy of sodomy as a choice, although he personally dislikes it, I'm not a fan either. Soldier Boy is quite firmly opposed to bestiality. I'm with you on that, buddy. I am against the bestiality. That's fucked up shit. Anyway, continuing the theme of new, although, you know, I was saddened to find out that pig brothel in Rolla was not a real thing. For years, I would talk about that. It was a fake internet story. I was very, you know, much wondering how that would work. I thought it was a legit story. And it was just like, I was curious about how that might work. How you run a pig brothel and find out other people are wanting to fuck pigs and be like, you know, source them out, kind of feel if like, ooh, I think this person would be down for fucking pigs. And, you know, of course, wouldn't rat. Sadly, there wasn't a real pig brothel. Though I'm very much against bestiality. I just want to point that out. Don't like harming animals. Though I am a meat eater. Anyway, back on to crank that. Continuing the theme of new ideas, the first section of the second verse is largely informative. Most simply, the lines, I'ma pass it to Arab, then he gonna crank it up for show, indicates that Soldier Boy's partner, Arab, also uses condoms. Of particular interest is the phrase faux show. For sure, certainly. This is to contrast with the earlier phrase, watch me super soak that hoe. If Soldier Boy is super soaking the whore, it indicates that he is not wearing his condom, as condoms inhibit semen flow and would not enable Soldier Boy to super soak. Arab, however, always uses the condom, probably to avoid any risk of transmitting venereal disease. Now, see, super soaking the hoe, to me, really leads into more of the idea of Superman that hoe, meaning you come on their back and then throw the sheet on it. Super soak it. And I feel like they're being awfully charitable to Soldier Boy in this reading of it. Anyway, the same general themes are once more repeated in the second verse. Haters want to be me. Soldier Boy, I'm the man, indicates that he is virile and a good example to follow. And since he uses condoms, he should... So should the listener. This association with condoms is reiterated by the lines, "They be looking at my neck, saying it's the rubber band, man." In standard human anatomy, the neck is the area directly below the head. However, the penis also has a head that below which is the main body of the penis. His appearance in the main body of the penis leads people to conclude that he is the rubber band man. This confirms that he uses a condom, which is rubber, and might resemble a band, and is renowned for doing so. Furthermore, watch me do it, dance, let's get to it, once more states that with the dancing in the bedroom, listeners should watch him do it and use a condom. Rubber man, I agree with the assessment that... this rubber band man is referencing using a condom. But again, I think the coming on the back thing with the sheet is probably more is what he's alluding to when he's super soaking that hoe. A final mystery is the last section. Nope, you can't do it like me. Oh, so don't do it like me, fool. I see you trying to do it like me. Man, that shit was ugly. This section seems to warn against condom use, which, of course, is illogical in the larger scheme of the song, which, again, I think maybe he's talking about doing some fucked up shit, you know, about the Superman, super soaking him. And so I searched for an alternate explanation. Surprisingly, I came to the conclusion that there was no hidden meaning, and this section meant exactly what it said. Do not use a condom. This is because Soldier Boy is addressing Christians and others who are not allowed to use contraception. So with this theme in mind, the section would be interpreted as, nope, you can't do it like me because of you, your duty. Oh, so don't do it like me because it would violate your duties. Fool, I see you trying to do it like me. Man, that shit was ugly. Referring to a violation of said duties, which is indeed ugly. So in summation, Soldier Boy Crank That deserves every bit of critical acclaim. Soldier Boy has created a very memorable song, a sexually oriented one, but better yet, Soldier Boy conceals a message that is in accord with the establishment's views on safe sex and does so while respecting various organizations' beliefs. One could only hope that some of his future work rises to an even higher summit instead of descending down a slope. And there's only like one reply to the subreddit, which says, you've got to stop wasting time on Soldier Boy. That's why we have Soldier Boy Sucks as a member. I imagine there was probably more people that commented on sometime. I don't know. I feel like, let's see what the state press had to say about that. I feel it's the top search result from Google, minus the AI shit. I try to avoid AI shit at all costs. But this article says, and it's from 2008, the year after the song was released. It was January, so it's not a full year after the song. Well, I don't know when it was what month it was released in. Opinions degrading, disrespectful, but with a beat. Crank That. I'm not a fan of rap music, and I certainly don't listen to the radio. Pardon me if I'm a little behind the times. When I'm at least as up with the times as Regis Philbin and Kelly Ripa, the late great Regis. Who wants to be a millionaire? I don't really have a Regis anyway, which I realize doesn't say much, but the standards of a 45-year-old housewife, though, I'm really with it. Okay, months ago, a friend told me about an interview she heard on the radio with the rapper Soulja Boy Tell'em, otherwise known as 17-year-old DeAndre Ramon Way. Oh, he was 17 at the time, didn't know that. In which he explained the meaning of his hit single, Crank That. Well, sort of. Way had to tell the DJs the meaning of the song off air. Later, my friend Googled the song and came up with the true meaning. She was completely astounded that the song has been on the airwaves. I feel obligated at this point to explain the meaning of the song, as embarrassing as it might be to write. First, I'll give you the chance to deconstruct the first verse for yourself, which I guess I'll go back over the verse here. Soulja Boy off in this hoe, watch me lean, watch me rock, Superman that hoe, then watch me crank that RoboCop, super fresh now, watch me jocking on them haters, man. When I do that, Soulja Boy, I lean to the left and crank that thing. Now, you, I'm jocking on your bitch ass. And if we get the fighting, then I'm cocking on your bitch ass. You catch me at your local party. Yes, I crank it every day. Haters getting mad because I got me some bathing apes. I've deconstructed some pretty deep poetry, but I never really tried to understand the meaning of this song. I suppose that's because I didn't really care. That is, until I found that the song is about ejaculating onto a sleeping girl's back and pressing the sheets into it so that when she wakes up, she looks like she's wearing a cape. Superman that hoe. I get it. Classy. I can't say over the months following that realization that I gave the song much thought. After all, a lot of popular music is immature and degrading to women. This song was no different. It wasn't until I saw Soulja Boy performing Crank That on Live with Regis and Kelly last week that the song really affected me. A young boy from the audience and the two most unlikely of people to dance to such a song, Regis and Kelly, learned the choreography to the song from Soulja Boy himself. There's something about a 7-year-old listening to the song that is overwhelmingly disturbing. Which, to be fair, the kid probably had no idea what the fuck was about. Maybe it's the 45-year-old woman in me that is so worried, but it seems to me that popular music is becoming increasingly immature and asinine. The Redditor, or well, the friend of the friend of the friend of the Redditor, seemed to take a very much more positive view of Soulja Boy. I'm all for free speech. Should you have the inclination to doubt this, let me remind you that you are reading from the opinion column of a journalism student. I do not want this song or any other song I disagree with off the air. People should be able to listen to whatever music they want, but if artists are allowed to make these obscene kinds of songs, I'm allowed to shake my head. When I presented this opinion to a friend, he made the argument that the drug music of the 60s is in no way more mature than the popular music of today, while Soulja Boy's Crank That and the Beatles' Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds are both shrouded in metaphor. I'd have to argue that doing LSD, as horrible a drug as it can be, is slightly more mature than ejaculating on a girlfriend during her REM cycle. Call me crazy. To be fair, though, I feel like... I'm pretty confident it was Lucy, because there is Julian Lennon has stood by it like his entire life, that he had a friend Lucy, and that he drew a picture of Lucy when he was a kid, and she was in the sky and there was diamonds. I buy that story. I buy that. You know, I know that the Beatles was like, Lennon liked to joke about a lot of shit and come up with stuff. I don't think he thought that much about it. I think his son drew a picture and he wrote a fucking song about it. Though they did do acid, so anyway, she continues to say here, I can't help but think that it's popular media like this that is moving humanity in the wrong direction. But hey, we love our sex, drugs, and rock and roll. If it has a catchy beat we can dance to, we accept the lyrics attached to the song no matter what they are. I guess I'm just as guilty of that as any other person. I've had Crank That in my head nonstop for the past week. Maybe it's just time to dance it out. Crank that. Supermanejo. Anyway, Christina Caldwell wrote that a long, long time ago. Like 18 years ago? Or 17 years ago, rather, 2008. Anyway, yeah, it's a classic song, man. Classic song. And I'm pretty sure that is like the meaning of it. Though, reading this, you know, essay off of Reddit, I kind of could feel that it could mean possibly Superman that hoes, just like you're taking flight afterwards. You're like, well, you know, you super soaked her. Now you're leaving. But the super soaking really leads me to believe that, yeah, it is just coming on the back. Though I don't really see a line in the song that really says, like, throw a sheet on that. You know, but I'm not that familiar with the vernacular. Watch me crank that. Watch me. Anyway, yeah, I'm not going to get that song out of my head the rest of the night. I'm going to end up having to watch that video later. Get that dance move down. And really decipher. He's doing the Superman pose. Is he throwing a sheet on it? Is that part of the dance? I don't know. These are the mysteries of the world. Oh, we're 8 minutes off from Agent Fox Mulder here getting fed, and he's still just laying down on the floor by me. I'm wondering if he's feeling right. You feeling right, buddy? Fox. You good, man? You good? No, you're not going to meow? You're not going to give me... He's looking over here. Buddy boy. Are you hungry? Are you ready for your food? You only got a couple of minutes left, man. Nice. I think he's okay. His tail is wagging. Usually when I start talking to him like that, he does like respond a little bit with a meow. But he is just... No? Thought maybe making some noise. He would perk up a little bit. We'll find out. I imagine he'll still run down as soon as that automatic feeder goes off, that he will still run down and be all crazy like. I have also, you know, watched back to things that I have managed to have find some time somehow to watch. I did watch all of Daredevil, which I imagine that's the last season. The Daredevil Born Again, season 3. Will there be a season 3? This is so there is going to be a season 3. The way it ended, I felt like, you know, maybe, spoiler alert, Daredevil goes to jail. According to this article on IGN, are they confirmed for a season 3? Because it ends like there could possibly... Oh, they're already filming. Oh, so yeah. Which I do enjoy the Daredevil series. Charlie Cox, Vincent D'Onofrio, Deborah Ann Woll. And of course, that gave us... We got some more Jessica Jones in there as well, and Luke Cage at the end. So I mean, it definitely appears that they are going to be bringing all those characters back. I didn't see the Iron Fist, but of course we did get. I guess it was in season one of the Born Again where we did have the Punisher back in there. Which John Bernthal's Punisher, I do really like his Punisher a lot. And I did get to see a teaser on Disney Plus while watching Daredevil of some new Punisher. I got to look this up here. I can't spell. Johnny Bernthal. course, he got learned of John Bernthal initially as him playing Shane from The Walking Dead. Back when The Walking Dead was good. Let's see here. News. What do we got? Okay, there's a Punisher special. That's what I received, which I don't understand. Special. Is it like a movie? Like, what is this? It's a Christmas special? What are we doing here, people? This is on darkhorizons.com. An article on there by Garth Franklin. With Daredevil Born Again having just wrapped up its second season, eyes turn towards next week's The Punisher One Last Kill special. Next week? Oh, hell yeah. This is an article from Thursday, so it's coming out next week. I didn't see a date. So, as we know, John Bernthal's Frank Castle, The Punisher, didn't appear in the second season of Born Again after making short appearances within the first season. However, he will be front and center in this special and have a key role in Spider-Man Brand New Day. Oh, Fox is freaking out. He's got less than 4 minutes. Speaking with Variety, current Daredevil showrunner Dario Scardapane. Scardapane? It's Italian. I don't know. Scardapane? I'm not sure how to pronounce that. Explains that the decision not to have Frank return in the second season wasn't a scheduling conflict, but a creative choice on Bernthal's part and how the special came to be. I know that John had been talking to the people at Marvel and had a very specific idea in mind about what happened to Frank after the end of the Punisher series. He came in so graciously, gratefully, and wonderfully in season one for a pretty eye-popping pair of scenes. So not having John in season two more reflects about the story he wanted to tell with the Punisher special. Scardapane also cleared up where One Last Kill takes place in Marvel's timeline, indicating it will essentially take place after the events of the second season of The Punisher. I think this tells the story of what happened next after Punisher and before and during the events of Born Again Season 2. Punisher One Last Kill is set to release on Disney Plus service on May 12th. Days away. Just days away. So that's exciting. But again, special, I don't know how long. I guess it's like a movie. It better be at least like movie length, man. Come on now. I feel like we need at least that. But it's good to know that John Bernthal is still going to be rocking that Punisher. I did really like his Punisher. I mean, he's no Dolph Lundgren, right? I remember my brother and I, of course, Shelly, we would fucking watch that shit. The first Punisher film with Dolph Lundgren and Louis Gossett Jr. is in there as well. He plays the Punisher's buddy. And if I remember correctly, it's been many, many years. It's been a couple of decades since I watched that film. Several decades. Who was the big bad? He was going against some like crime families, and there was this Asian lady that I don't know why. I'm pretty sure she was like Asian, and it seemed like a fake accent, but I think that was her real accent. But for some reason, as children, we had this shit recorded, I think, on VHS. We recorded it off some fucking movie channel or something. I don't remember what it was. But we had it to where we could just, rewind and rewatch the scene. And there was a line by this Asian crime boss, this lady, that, I don't know what I guess she was supposed to be Yakuza. I'm not sure. Again, it's been a few decades since I watched it. But this line she, or maybe, fuck. He's still running to the food, so we got that. He's well enough to go run for the food. He's excited to eat, so he must not be feeling too bad. Let's see here. Punisher. Let's see here. Pulling up the IMDb here. I know there's Dolph. 1989. I was 8 years old when that movie came out. Oh, I love the movie poster. Oh, that'd be a good one to get. That'd be a good one to get. That's a fantastic movie poster. Lady Tanaka. I think that's the one that says the line. The character that says the line. On your knees. She's on your knees. And it was just in a very bad accent. But it seemed almost like a fake accent. I'm quite curious to whether or not she really had an accent. Kim Miyori is the actress's name that said it. But I don't know. As children, we found it so funny, the line, on your knees, the way she said it. I guess she was like the main bad. It's been, again, a long fucking time. Let's see what the synopsis of this. Oh, yeah, there's not much of a synopsis here. When Frank Castle's family is murdered by criminals, he wages a war on crime as a vigilante assassin known only as the Punisher. But, you know, it's the Punisher. The comic was already pretty big at that point. And, here's a storyline. That's a little bit more deeper. Based on the Marvel comic, Dolph Lundgren is Frank Castle, an ex-cop who lives in the sewers and acts as a judge, jury, and executioner to the city's criminals in retaliation for the unpunished murders of his wife and kids. Frank's ex-partner, Jake, played by Louis Gossett Jr., finally catches up with the vigilante as he tries to stop the Japanese mob, so the Yakuza, which is trying to take over the city's mafia operation. I wonder if there's anybody that, like, with the that comments on that line. There's on IMDb of the user reviews of 227. The people that wrote stuff. Okay, there's over 28,400 people that like rated it, not just reviewed it. Of that, there's 5.7. So it's not a real high score. anyway, which is slightly lower than the Punisher Warzone, which I really enjoyed that one with Ray Stevens, the late Ray Stevens. I thought that one was good. I enjoyed that one. And the Thomas Jane is rated higher than that. I would prefer the Punisher Warzone with Ray Stevens over the Thomas Jane Punisher. The Thomas Jane one's not bad. I mean, it's not horrible. I enjoyed it. It has Kevin Nash in it, the wrestler. So this is of the Punisher films, this is the least highest rated. But the first of the films. And, I don't know what I would honestly rate it. I'd have to go back and watch it again. I know it from being a very young child. I was 8 years old when this film came out. It's crazy seeing Dolph Lundgren with black hair. he looked good as the Punisher, though. Which, fun fact, Dolph Lundgren, I believe, is like a legit like scientist, like in real life, like had like studied like nuclear science or something. I don't remember what it was, but like he's apparently a very intelligent person, which is funny that he's also an action star. He'd be an interesting person to meet, I think. Just lived an interesting life. But don't quote me on that. I know he went to school for some stuff like that, of that sort. Maybe I'm getting it all wrong. I'm getting old. My memory's not so good anymore. Anyway, though, I'm pretty excited to see, you know, the new Punisher special. Well, And then, of course, it does look like Jessica Jones was, maybe she's going to, Kristen Ritter, you know, maybe she's going to have her series again, or a new series, another Jessica Jones, Luke Cage, or is his name Luke Cage? Well, Cage, whatever is, he was at the end, which, you know, this is bring back, it appears to be bringing back pretty much all the Marvel shows that were on Netflix that were good shows, you know? I would say Daredevil and Punisher were the two best of the shows, but, you know, I watched all of them. They were entertaining. They were well-written. Decent cast. So, yeah, we got that, I guess, to look forward to. They're rebuilding on those. I mean, they were good shows. Why not bring the shit back? They had, of course, again, I haven't seen anything about Iron Fist, which it was all right. Not my favorite. Again, I'm saying my top two of the Netflix Marvel era was the Daredevil, which was like the first of all of those, and then the Punisher, which I've always just loved the Punisher. I wasn't like real big into the comics on Punisher, but I had a few of them, and I liked the character of the Punisher in the comics just because he's fucking brutal. In the comics, he would just fucking brutally murder people. Going just... finding all the evil people, you know, and just getting revenge. Love a good revenge story. And against, you know, big-time crime bosses. And just bad people in general. And just, like, just torturing them to death. Which I'm not for. I'm not for torture in general. But for some reason, the Punisher... But I guess it was the fact that he was doing it to people that were just horrible people in general. He was, though, you know, I believe in innocent until proven guilty and whatnot, but there's something about getting revenge on people that seem to be above the law and that can do whatever the fuck they want. There's something, I guess, appealing to that. Anyway, that's really all I've got. I got to go to the store as Agent Mulder came back. Pretty quickly, Fox here. He and his tail's wagging. So I guess he was able to eat and hold it down. It'd be fine. But anyway, yeah. That's really all I've got. So as always, that is a kid in a wheelchair, not a trash can.